broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
My guess at this time, he was ranked number 5 by USA Boxing in the bantamweight division at 123 pounds in 2013. On Saturday night, he fights Aaron Eli at the Holiday Inn Coco Key Water Resort in Kansas City, Missouri. Very proud to introduce my guest at this time, Fidel Andres Cervantes. Fidel, how are you doing today?
Hello.
All right, man.
I'm doing great.
Great, man. So your first professional fight this weekend, man, this Saturday. You nervous?
A little bit, you know, more so because I've been out of the ring as far as like actual competition for a while. And it's just those little nerves that every fighter gets right before they actually step into the ring. It's kind of what I'm feeling now.
Right.
Nothing too bad.
Okay. Perfect. Let me ask you, what actually got you into the sport to begin with?
What actually got me into the sport, it was kind of a funny story. When I was in high school, I want to say like between the sophomore and junior year, me and a bunch of my friends, we should just get a pair of boxing gloves and just kind of, well, we would consider boxing. And we would just play around, you know, and everybody kind of just, we went through all the friends a couple of times, and then everybody kind of got tired of it. And I used to, you know, my parents, they used to watch boxing and all that, but nobody in my family boxed. So after I finished doing all that with my friends and I was still watching boxing, you know, on a, I'd say regular basis, I actually just intrigued me to want to go to a gym. And then just from there, you know, I found a gym a little bit after that. And then it kind of just started just, I don't know, it just kept rolling and turned into something I didn't really expect. And I just fell in love with actually competing in the aspect of the competition. Which is kind of it's just to me is a weird story compared to everybody else's story.
So let me backtrack here a little bit. Now you said that, you know, like when you were a sophomore, you would get boxing gloves with your friends. When was the actual first time you actually walked into a gym to be trained?
I was about 17. So it was about that same time, just a little short period, like a couple months after that. So I was about 17 when I walked into an actual gym and actually started, you know, actually training with somebody.
That's incredible. I mean, you know how incredible. I mean, you were 17, and at that age, I mean, people that get to, you know, number 5 in box for USA Boxing and everything like that, I mean, these guys have been boxing since they were like 5 and 6 years old, you know? I mean, these guys come in the gym or born into the gym. You know, for somebody, that's such an accomplishment for somebody who's 17 to walk into a gym and accomplish the things at that height that you accomplished. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the people recognized my potential, and in the gyms I trained at, because my coach that I started with was Dave Lubbs, and he used to be the in charge of the USOEC, where Vernon Forrest and David Reed and I'm trying to think of the other guy from Philly, Zaire Rahim, a lot of them guys, they trained up there in the 90s when they were young. And he just seen my potential, and he offered me a chance to go up there, but I had actually initially turned it down because I wasn't too sure if I wanted to go to school and to do the college thing. But I ended up going a year later, and even when I went up there, Al Mitchell, he said he seen some potential in me as far as like what he could do with me too. So I feel like I had a lot of respect on my potential, and a lot of people pushed me.
It sounds like it. I mean, those are big names. And, you know, for a coach like that to see, you know, again, you at 17 walking in there kind of raw in a lot of ways. I mean, you don't have a lot of experience. And then for them to take you under your wing and see that potential in you means you definitely have something there for sure. Let me ask you, now, fighting for USA Boxing, you must have got a lot of talented guys. You must have got a chance to spar with a lot of talented guys. Who were some of the people that you trained with over the years and that kind of taught you the most coming in?
People that I trained with, there's a lot of known guys, like Jesse Hart.
Yeah.
He was up there when I was in the program for a while. Well, when he was there, he wasn't actually in the program, but he was up there training with us, and he was just there to train. So he was more like you know, he had his whole mindset on what he was going to do when he was there. That was it. He was just there to train. So to him, it was just a training camp. And I was also, Chris Pearson was also up there for a while when I was up there. And Damon Allen, who just signed with Golden Boy recently. Congrats to him. And I used to spar with him. He used to be one of my main sparring partners, him and I believe it's a 114 pounder. Those two were my main sparring partners. And one of the top girls at 132, one of the semesters I was up there was actually my other sparring partner.
Very good. Let me ask you now, too. Now you had a pretty decorated amateur career in the sense that, you know, like I said, I mean, number five in the, you know, the U.S. You got to spar a lot of people. Had a lot of people coming up. Good amateur fights, Golden Gloves, that sort of thing. At what point did you actually decide to say, okay, you know what? I think I'm going to go for it. I think I'm going to turn pro.
Right after the 2013 U.S. Nationals. When I got ranked, because that year was the first year that they changed the rules back to no headgear into the 10-9 scoring system. And so after that, I felt I could have did better, but I bumped into the guy that beat me. He's already pro, and he's, I believe, 2-0 or 3-0. And he used to fight for the WSB. So he had a couple fights, I believe, with the WSB. So he was a little more accumulated to that style, to no headgear, going three minute rounds, and he was doing 5 minute rounds. And I felt I lost a split decision to him. So after I fought him, and I'm like, well, this guy's been all around. He's from Cali. He's fought all these guys who are probably world ranked fighters or something like that. If I'm hanging with him, I'm sure I can do it in the pros. And after that, I just decided that I didn't want to fight amateur no more because of the styles, you know, the little style differences kind of threw you back when you're trying to get into the pro game.
Okay, and for all those who don't know, the WSB, that's the World Series of Boxing, correct? And that's
where
the amateurs go. It's kind of amateur, but it's kind of in between amateur and pro, yeah?
A lot of people just consider it pro because it's... And I kind of agree because, you know, they're doing five, 3 minute rounds with no headgear and they don't wear shirts. They do 10-9 scoring. They get paid for it somehow. Mm-hmm. They get some reimbursement. I think maybe the rules might have changed the way they do things over the last years, but that first year, the first 2 years they did it was very, very pro stylish. I don't know if it's still like that because it kind of died down in steam a little bit, not too much, but when it first came out, you know, it was basically all the top ranked fighters from a bunch of countries.
Yeah, because I remember seeing people in there that I know were going to the Olympics, you know, and I was like, well, how are they doing this if they're going to the Olympics? But apparently it's something they set up and obviously it's cleared or they wouldn't be doing it, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a weird situation, a weird program, which some people like it, some people don't, you know. I mean, I didn't really want to get into it I remember the first year they did the U.S. Nationals, the year I went without the headgear, one of the first fights before I fought, they actually ended up headbutting and cutting each other. Or one guy got cut, and everybody was like, well, that's because everybody's used to the headgears and, you know, all these amateurs. And at the same time, I'm like, well, they should have been thinking ahead in time. You know, they should have been thinking ahead, knowing that a lot of people are going to go in like that.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing, yeah. You know. Especially as an amateur when you fight so much, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things, I don't know, I didn't get the... how they don't consider the WSB pro fights, and I heard some people do. I don't know. I've seen on a couple websites where they actually count some of those fighters' WSB fights as pro fights, and they just accumulate the record together.
Wow. So let me ask you, too, what makes you confident that you can make a successful transition from amateur to pro?
I just think I'm a good people person. You know, I can go around and connect with people from even no matter where I'm from, And I have a style that I think people would like to watch, and I can be successful without compromising too much as far as like maybe getting hurt or anything like that. You know, I think I'm a good, I go forward enough, but I'm also very aware that my defense has to be important so I don't get hurt. I don't just go head on and just try and just the way a lot of people do when they transition, I think, from amateurs to pros is they have too much. They go too quick. You know what I mean? Like they think all offense, and a lot of times defense is what's going to get you even further. And I think I'm thinking on both ends. And even with my personality, I can connect to people too. So I'm going to be entertaining to people, but also be smart to push myself a little bit forward more and more as my competition progresses.
Is there a style change that you're going to have to make that change from your amateur style to your pro style? Is there something that you specifically will have to do?
I don't feel there's too much I need to change. I mean, there's always some little stuff that you don't really necessarily realize when you just go into the pros. Like a lot of the pro guys I've sparred with before, they always tell me there's little stuff here and there with the glove differences. You know, the sheer size of the gloves, it allows certain stuff to be able to done easier. A lot of people, you know, some pros might fight a little bit dirtier than they would in the amateurs because they're more lenient on the rules. And with me, I think I actually used to lose a lot of fights because I had more of a pro style. I used to try to pick my shots a little bit better, work a little bit slower, work a little bit smarter. So in the amateurs, especially prior to the 10-9 scoring system, it used to be just points. So whoever was a busier fighter had a twice as much chance of winning a fight, whether they really deserved it or not.
I agree. Now, about the money, let me talk about that for a little bit. Now, are you a full-time fighter, or do you have, like, a day job? I mean, do you train full-time?
Yeah, I have a day job. I mean, I try to train full-time, but I definitely do have a day job. And before, when I was going to school, I used to have a, you know, even when I was an amateur and I was going to school and all that, I had a I'm still at the same day job just because they were really, really worked with me on my schedule for whenever I would have tournaments and have fights coming up. So it was a good thing. And my parents have been really supportive and allowed me to stay there and kind of just help with the bills as I can to kind of help me into this transition, especially over the past year that I've been trying to start my pro career. Cause I had a couple just fights that fell through, like in, I believe it was in about August of last year. I had a fight that a local promoter came to me about that fell through. Then in November, the same thing. I actually lost a couple of opponents the week of the fight, and I ended up losing an opponent the day of the fight. So I kind of went through three different opponents that week when I thought I was going to make my pro debut. Then I had a canceled card in December. So it's just been kind of weird to try to get my career started. So I've had to keep a day job, and my parents have been really supportive of it.
Talk about that for a minute. How important is that to have that family backing when you're trying to do something like this?
I feel it's very important because if you don't have the big, you know, the big dollars pushing you and you don't have a lot of money coming in, you know, it's hard to really be a full-time fighter and keep a day job. You know, we see that a lot with a lot of fighters where they may struggle a lot or their schedule is just super hectic. And I feel I'm really thankful that my family's really behind me like that because I don't have to worry about too much as far as, like, am I going to have some place to stay next month or anything like that. And I feel maybe some fighters might go through those problems, which unfortunately, you know, maybe they have to venture out of their city or out of their home state a little bit sooner than they want just to make it.
Now, one of the biggest misconceptions out there is that all fighter paydays, all fighters get big paydays for every fight. Everybody is making, you know, no matter if it's your first fight, your 10th fight, or your 20th fight, everybody is making, if you're boxing, you're making Floyd Mayweather money. Can you clear that up a little bit for us? I mean, you don't have to tell me. I don't want to know what you're getting for this fight, but can you just let everybody know that it's not, you know, or maybe it is. I don't know. What is the paycheck like? Is it like, you know, you tell me, what is it like?
I mean, some people would think the paycheck is real good for I guess they put it the way they see it. It's mm-hmm. just a day's work. They see it as like, you know, depending on your fight. Let's say my fight is a 4-round fight. So that's about, it could be up to 12 minutes, you know, in the ring fight time.
Okay.
So a lot of people will say, you know, I'd say on average, a decent payday for a 4-round fight, somebody starting maybe my level would be $1,500 or something. And some people will look at it as that's a great payday for 12 minutes, 15 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you actually look at everything you're putting into it, you know, all the gym time, all the time you could possibly, if you're not at work or if you still have to go to work, that's a lot of stress on your body, a lot of mental stress. And if you say you only fight like 4 times a year, 5 times a year, that's still not a lot of money. So if you really think of it in the bigger picture, it's almost like getting paid crumbs to fight. But if you're willing to go through it at first, you know, you can potentially get those big paydays that everybody thinks everybody's getting. But you just have to be willing to kind of go through a little bit at first, you know, and not everybody's willing to do it.
So let me ask you, too, now, is this, and I don't know how it goes, but I know in MMA, you know, they talk about, you know, a lot of the promotions are set up, you know, say you come in, you fight, you get $500 to show, so that's your base salary, and then you get, like, $500 to win. Is it something like that in boxing, or is it, like, a flat fee that you're getting?
Well, my deal is a little bit different because I'm not signed to the promoter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not signed with the manager, so we're kind of doing a little different than that. But for some people, it is like that. You know, I've actually talked to a few people who did have, it was a little bit more than $500, and even regardless of win or lose, they were getting their set money no matter what. But it just kind of it can go from show to show or promotion to promotion. You know, it's one of the things of the business that people don't understand that it can. It just truly depends on your actual agreement with the promoter or even with the other fighter or something like that.
Now, I know two of your sponsors for this fight is Anytime Fitness and El Torizo Supermarket. How important are sponsors to your career when you're first getting started?
Oh, they're very important. You know, they could help that sponsor money could help you pay, you know, for flyers to promote your fight if the promoter is a lot of people sometimes, you know, they have ticket deals where, you know, you get a percentage of the ticket sales. You know, it'd be equivalent to pay-per-view sales to better adequate it to people to understand, I would say. So if you have the sponsors to pay for flyers and stuff like that or shirts that you want to sell, if they can pay that, then it kind of helps you get a little bit more money that doesn't have to do with your fight. And also, just supplies, you know, you might need tape or gauze for gym workouts, you know, make sure you don't hurt your hands, some gloves, you know, if you're getting through an old pair of gloves and you need some new ones, you know, a lot of that stuff, sponsors can help pay for that. And then it doesn't cut into your actual, you know, your actual purse, as opposed to having to take that out of your purse. And then you actually might take home maybe just a couple hundred after your fight.
So let me ask you too, because you're a new and upcoming fighter, I mean, you're having your first pro fight. How do you go? I mean, do you actually have to go out and get sponsors? Is that something the promotion brings to you or your manager brings to you? And how does that work?
Well, I'm not signed with the manager or promoter.
Right.
So it's been me and one of my buddies has been helping me. You know, he knows some people and he kind of gets in there and he just gets out there and talks to people just like I would. And I went to a handful of spots, and some people, you know, they didn't really know me as much. They didn't really know about boxing like that, so they weren't really willing to go into it. But I had a few that actually, you know, they said, you know, I'll go to the fight, and if I like what I see as far as everything goes, then on the next fight, you know, we can work a deal out for actual sponsorship. And then I had the other ones where they were fine with it, and they actually gave me the sponsorship. So it's just kind of for me, at least starting off with no management team and nothing like that, it's kind of just me out here grinding to get it myself.
Wow. And so now you mentioned, we talked about, you know, your potential payday, okay? And now, you know, I know you're not signed with a manager or promoter, but now you still have expenses. And do you pay those expenses as you go, or does this come out of, like, you know, training expenses and everything like that? Or does this actually come out of your check? When once you get it, then you pay this out?
I've actually just paid it as I go. You know, I've paid my own stuff, and then I just kind of – I just take, you know, my regular paycheck. I pay it, and then I'll just make up for it whenever I get my fight check or my fight money. You know, I won't have them go through it. I feel like it would be just more of a hassle to keep track of that kind of stuff and then still have to take it out of the check.
Now, since you don't have a promoter or a manager, what is the advantage / disadvantage of that? And is that by choice, or is that, you know?
Right now, it's more by choice right now, because I don't really want to sign to a local promoter or anything like that, because I want to keep my options open to work with different people if I want to work with different people, and I have to pay out, you know, I think the average rate is like 30% of your check or of your purse to somebody else, or maybe not be able to take an opportunity because I have to pay somebody, and then there's my whole fight purse.
Wow, that's, I mean, 30%, that's a chunk, man. That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah, a lot of people don't really realize that that's what it could potentially be. So, you know, I've had a few conversations with some people, and they're like, well, why don't you just sign to a manager? I'm like, you know, I'm like, there's not too many people that, well, at least around here, that actually know boxing, and I'm not willing to be able to hand them some money for a lot of stuff they still, I'll probably have to end up doing in the end anyway.
Right. Now let's go back to the fight for a second. Now, how is it different preparing for a pro fight versus an amateur fight?
Well, the weight issue is a little bit easier as far as like mentally, because one of the things is now, you know, nowadays you don't weigh in the day of your fight. I know they used to do it the same way way back, like the Sugar Ray Robinson days, where you weighed in the same day you fight, and that's how they do it in the amateurs.
Yeah.
And so when I was going out to these tournaments, I had to be prepared mentally and physically to make 123 pounds, potentially 5 days, 6 days of a week.
Okay.
So I really had, you know, your diet really has to be that much more spot on. And of course I was a little bit smaller at the time. Like, I wouldn't say like my height or anything like that, but just physically I had a little bit less muscle. So I was able to, you know, keep some of that fat off and keep some of that, that weight off a little bit easier. And now I bulked up a little bit more, and it's still good. It's better for me now because I'm a little bit more bulkier, so it's easier for me to make 122, which I want to fight at, but I'm doing this one at 125. But I would be able to make that weight a lot easier, you know, than before. I would struggle to keep 123 for about a week.
Gotcha. So let's talk about your opponent on Saturday, and you said the fight will be at 125?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about your opponent on Saturday, Aaron Eli. Right now he's 1-0, but he's more known for his work in MMA, not boxing. Do you feel this gives you an advantage given the fact that boxing doesn't appear to be his primary focus?
Yeah, I feel like it's a good matchup, because it's a good test for me as well for a first pro fight, for a pro debut, because I feel like, as a lot of people know, a lot of MMA fighters out there are tough. But there's a stuff stylistically that I can take advantage of as a more polished boxer. So it's a good matchup, even as a promotional wise, when you look at it as a stylistic thing. You know, MMA fighters, everybody knows they're all tough, so he's gonna keep coming no matter what. And if I can take advantage of those little style differences in between of how he throws his punches as to how I can get them in there and how I throw my punches, it's maybe a psychological advantage for me, where I feel I can take advantage of that even more, regardless if he's a tough guy or not.
Now, I've only seen him in MMA. I've seen some of the videos on him and everything like that. Have you actually seen him box? Because I know MMA boxing, you know, when he's boxing in the cage, is going to be a lot different than what you're going to see on Saturday night.
Yeah, they gave us his tape on his one fight, and I watched it one time and kind of just gave it to my coach, and I let him watch it and let him come up with a strategy. Because I don't know, I have a thing at least to me, where I feel like the more I watch somebody's tape, the more I think that's exactly how they're going to fight when I get in the ring with them, which I know isn't true, because it's actually happened to me before where in my mind I set up a strategy, and once I go in there, it's not what I see. I see something completely different. So as far as I go, I don't really like to watch the tape myself. I'd rather just let my coach watch it and let my trainer, you know, and let him come up with a strategy. And if we have to make little changes in between, that's what I like to do, in fight changes instead. So I don't like to get a actual strategy stuck in my head as far as from watching tape.
All right. So how was it that he was chosen to be your first opponent? I mean, did you know of him coming in, or did when the matchmakers put it together, what did they see or not see, or how did this fight come about?
I believe just the matchmakers just thought it would be a good matchup for me and for him, and a good matchup to promote and to be able to put out there for local fans.
And the fight is Saturday night at 7 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Cocoa Key Water Resort at Kansas City in Kansas City, Missouri. And
yes.
Is there any way to actually see the fight? I know you can buy tickets, and what are ticket prices for the fight, or is it sold out?
I believe all that's left is general admission, which is $30. And
wow.
So all the VIP tables with me and all the other fighters, and with Lalo Robles, who's, you know, he's been he's a pretty well known guy around here. You know, he's fought a handful of known people too, so he kind of helped sell the card really quick as far as like the VIP tables and all that.
Very good. Let me ask you one last question. If you had a dream fight, who could your dream fight be against?
Like, who would I want to fight?
Yeah, who would you want to fight?
Who?
Could be somebody now, could be somebody yesteryear, could be whoever.
This would be a tough one. I want to say maybe Salvador Sanchez. A lot of people probably wouldn't expect this one, but
mm-hmm.
Salvador Sanchez, he was just somebody I feel like, you know, he was just incredible in the ring when you really look at his fights and what he did at his age, and he beat a lot of tough guys. So I would really want to just be able to test myself against somebody of that stature and see how I would match up against him.
One of the best ever. I mean, Salvador Sanchez was really one of the best ever. Did you see a lot of his fights on tape and everything like that?
Yeah, I've watched a handful of his fights on tape, and that he was just a one of the things that always amazed me with him, and even with Marquez. Marquez is my favorite fighter. You know, maybe I would say Marquez, Juan Marquez is my favorite fighter, and then Salvador Sanchez is probably second. But just their recovery, their in between recovery of just round after round, and like every time Sanchez would get up, it seemed like he was barely starting round one.
Right. I mean, it was that guy had energy for days.
And like with Marquez, he's one of the biggest things that kind of pulled me into boxing even more as I got a little bit older, is just the way, like, at least in my mind, is the way he can get hurt and then get back up and recover in a matter of 20, 30 seconds without taking big punishment in those 20, 30 seconds or having to even hold half of the time. It's just, to me, that's just something that, you know, it's really amazing and something that kind of pushes me to want to be like that or better if I can.
What did you think when he fought Pacquiao?
Oh, the first fight was crazy. I was actually, the funny thing was I used to be a big Pacquiao fan, which I'm still a Pacquiao fan, don't
sure.
get me wrong. But I used to be a big Pacquiao fan because, you know, prior to that, you know, he was destroying everybody and just running through everybody. But after the first Marquez fight, you know, I kind of like, after the first round, I'm like, oh, well, he's going to beat this guy too. And then, you know, Marquez comes back out of nowhere and gets up three times. Didn't even look hurt. He just went down, but he didn't really look hurt. Gets up and starts kind of taking over the whole fight. And I'm just like, wow, like, you know, that was amazing to me. And that's actually probably one of the fights that really made me want to be a boxer even more.
That was an incredible fight. Yeah, I mean, down three times and then gets up. I actually thought he won the fight. I actually thought he won subsequently all the other rematches. Obviously, he won the last rematch. What did you think of the knockout that he had against Pacquiao?
I thought it was an incredibly good time shot. Just incredible setup as far as like people that understand boxing and even fighters that have been in there. You know, some like to say, oh, you know, he hit his foot and caught him off guard or this and that. And it's like, even if he was, or people like to say, you know, he was almost getting knocked out himself. But that's not really what matters. What matters is that he was able to weather that storm and set up the shot that he needed, and it actually got him the knockout.
Yeah, he was an incredibly resilient fighter, man. I mean, that guy, and he would box. I mean, the way he boxed was just like textbook.
The combination punching is incredible. I actually, that's one of the reasons why I love watching him, just to watch how he puts together some of those combinations and gets the different open areas on a fighter. And I actually really like to watch that and kind of learn from that and try to replicate it in gym and all that.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, one of my favorites too, man. I think if I had to go back and pick two, I would have Julio Cesar Chavez, senior, obviously not junior, and then Ricardo Lopez would be my
Ricardo
finito.
Lopez, yeah. Finito. He's from Mexico City as well.
Yeah, just an amazing Texas. If you were to, you know, textbook fighter, that would be him, you know.
They actually, I believe they actually, towards the end of their career, or towards the end of Lopez's career, I believe he actually trained with Nacho too.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know he retired undefeated. He had one, I think he had one draw. Other than that, he retired undefeated.
Which he later won. He won the rematch from that draw. So he, in my eyes, a lot of people like to throw out Rocky Marciano and Mayweather, but I'm always like, Ricardo Lopez is that guy right now. Nobody beat him.
Undefeated, you know, and Chavez, what did Chavez go, 97-0 or some ridiculous thing like that? I think it was 97-0 before he lost to Frankie Randall. I mean, it was just amazing. You can't. Yeah. I mean, that's just.
Oh, and actually, one thing I just remember too about Lopez, I believe it's said that he never lost as an amateur either. So he really never lost a fight his whole boxing career, amateur or pro.
How insane is that? Can you imagine that? I mean, just going a complete career undefeated.
That's insane. And then to say the closest you ever got to a loss was just a tie.
Yeah. Right. And then came back and won. So.
Yeah. That's insane. You know, a lot of, one of the guys at the gym I train at, he always throws, it's funny because he always throws the name. He's always like, whenever we're talking about fighters, he just, Finito Lopez, go watch him, Finito. And I'm like, yeah, you're like, yeah. And I can't disagree. And I'm just like, yeah, you're right. But like, you know, everybody watching all these other guys, and he's just like, Finito Lopez, watch him.
Man. All right, well, I'm going to let you go ahead and let everybody know who your sponsors are.
My sponsor is Anytime Fitness and Dorito Supermarket.
All right.
Thank you for the interview, and I hope we get to talk again, maybe for the next fight, or even for the rest of my career, something like that. You know, just keep it going.
Absolutely, and you can catch Fidel Cervantes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the following: at Fidel Boxeo, FidelBoxeo. And you can catch him at Fidel Boxeo on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Look him up and go ahead and like his page and go see his fight and all that other good stuff. And you can catch him Saturday, March 21st at 7 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Cocoquie Water Resort, 9103 East 39th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And once again, he's sponsored by El Torito Supermart and Anytime Fitness. Fidel, it was a pleasure having you on today, man. Good luck on Saturday.
Pleasure, man.
1-0, you'll be on Sunday, and you'll be off and running, man.
Oh, yeah. I know. We've got to do it. Keep it going. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.